Welcome to the Wise Crone Cottage Podcast with storyteller Kathy Shimpok. Here we'll meet the crone and uncover her wisdom as found in fairy tales, folk tales, and myths. For it is true that stories, as it is with many people, become better as they grow older. Know that no matter how difficult your journey has been through the magical forest, the wise crone always opens her door to you.
I'm Kathy Shimpok. In this episode, I will be telling the story of Frau Holle. We'll be exploring the relationship between its young and old characters, especially the role the wise crone plays in the initiation of the young woman. We'll also look at the symbolism found within this story to see what it has to offer us from a psychological perspective. Finally, we'll discover what Frau Holle can teach us about living today as an elder.
A great while ago, when the world was full of wonders.
In this podcast, I will share the story of Frau Holle, a German folktale collected by Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. This story was included within the 1812 and 1857 editions of the Grimm Brothers' Children's and Household Tales. This story has had significant impact on the people of Germany and continues to be seen within their current culture. The Frau Holle character is believed to have derived from an ancient Germanic goddess known as Frau Holda, Holda, Hold, Huli, Hol, or Holla. She may also have a connection with the goddess Perchta or Berchta in southern Germany and in the Norse goddess Frigga. Her name means benevolent, faithful one, or hidden one. This is a goddess associated with birth, death, the seasons, the underworld, and household chores. She is also connected with spinning flax and water. The goddess has a dual nature. Myths describe her as traveling on cold winter nights with a band of witches while also protecting children as they sleep. She determines the worth of children and metes out their rewards and punishments. Norman Cohn described Frau Holle in this way. Holle is a supernatural motherly being who normally lives in the upper air and circles the earth. She is particularly active in the depth of winter. Snowflakes are the feathers that fall when she makes her bed. She travels in the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany, and this brings fruitfulness to the land during the coming year. She can sometimes be terrifying. She can lead the furious army which rides through the sky in the storm, and she can also turn into an ugly old hag with great teeth and a long nose, the terror of children. Yet in the main, she becomes terrifying only when angered. She is also concerned with childbirth. Babies come from her secret places, her tree, her pond. She is accompanied by the souls of the dead, including the souls of children and babies who have died unbaptized. Geographically, the Frau Holle story is said to originate in Hesse, Germany. The actual Frau Holle pond is in Hohermessener, a forested mountain area with a pond. At the end of the pond is a statue of Frau Holle in her mythological state, as a young woman with a long white dress. According to local lore, this is a place of offering to Frau Holle from ancient times. Scholars believe that this ancient goddess became Frau Holle within the oral tradition, and her myths were transformed into folk tales and much later recorded by the Grimm brothers.
But now, a story. Not in my time, not in your time, but in the wise crone's time.
Long ago and far away, but not so long ago or far away that we've forgotten the tale, there was a beautiful young girl. She was fair and bonny and kind and loving. She was as beautiful on the inside as she was on the outside. Sadly, she lived with her stepmother and stepsister. Her father had long since departed this earth. And like so many others in folktales, this young girl was treated badly. She was the only one who was working to provide for the family. Her stepmother had her spinning from dawn to dusk. She had a great skill in this area. But after many hours of spinning, her fingers would become raw and they would start to bleed. And so the stepmother took the spinning wheel and put it underneath a tree outside next to a well. And then she could spin as long as she was able. Well, on this summer day, she had started spinning early in the morning when the sun began to rise, and she was still spinning late in the evening as the sun had not yet gone to sleep. Her fingers were raw and painful to the touch, and she looked at them and noticed they had just begun to bleed. But she couldn't risk having any blood on the yarn. And so what she did was she got up and she put her hands in the cool water of the well, holding her spindle and circling her fingers. For a moment, she allowed herself to think about happier times. And in that memory, she dropped the spindle into the water, and it began to float down, down, down to the bottom of the well. She ran to her stepmother and told her what had happened. Her stepmother looked at her and only said, "Stupid girl! Stupid, stupid girl! What were you thinking? Do you think that spindles grow on trees? You just go right back to that well. Just go right back immediately and dish it out. Dish it out. I don't care how you have to do it. Just know if you do not do so, there will be a consequence to you." And the girl was young and naive, and she ran back to the well, and without even a moment's hesitation, she jumped in and began to swim to the bottom, down and down and down and down, until she thought her lungs would burst, and then some unknown force began to pull her, and she found herself bobbing on the surface of a lake. She looked around her, and there were beautiful meadows, and in the distance she could see snow-covered mountains. She swam to the shore, and before her was a path. There was nothing else to do but follow the path, and so she did. After a while, she began to hear something very odd.
"Take us out, take us out, we're burning, take us out."
"Excuse me? Excuse me? Who's calling?" Silence. And so she walked a little further.
"Take us out, take us out, we're burning, take us out."
Where are you? I'm happy to help. I just need to know where you are." Silence. And so she walked on. And there before her was an outdoor oven. She opened the door, and inside were loaves of bread with golden brown crust and a wonderful, delicious smell of baking bread in the air.
"Take us out, take us out, we're burning, take us out," the bread cried.
Oh, what a
What a peculiar land this is where the bread speaks to you. Oh, well, of course. I'd be happy to take you out. And so she took the mitts, took the bread out, placed them on the racks to cool, closed the door, and continued to walk along the path. She made her way into the forest, and then she began to hear something unusual again.
Shame me, arms are bringing shame.
Excuse me, is someone hurting? Nothing. And so she walked a little further.
Shake me, my arms are breaking, shake me.
Where are you? Please tell me. And she walked a little further until she found herself in a very ancient orchard filled with apple trees. The apple trees were very old, and on each branch there were every kind of apple imaginable. Green apples, red apples, orange apples, yellow apples, every variety and every kind. And the trees were filled with apples, and their branches were almost at the ground.
Shake me, my arms are breaking, shake me.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Tree. Oh, of course. I'd be happy to help you. And so she shook the trunk of the tree, and the apples fell to the ground. And she shook and shook until they were all gone, and the branches were lifted. All of the apples she gathered together in a nice pile at the base of the tree so that the owner would be able to find them. And she walked on, deeper into the forest. The sun was beginning to set, and she was starting to become a bit concerned. Where was she going to spend the night? And finally, out of the corner of her eye, she saw an old cottage hidden away. She made her way there and knocked on the door. The door opened. And there before her was the most frightening woman she had ever seen. She had wild, white, long hair and piercing black eyes. But what was the most ferocious, it was as if she had taken the teeth from a horse and jabbed them into her jaw. The young girl was so scared she jumped and backed away. Oh, excuse me, Grandmother. Oh, excuse me, I am so very sorry that I interrupted you. I am just so sorry. I'm just going to go on my way. Please forgive me. But the old woman shook her head. Don't be in such a hurry, dearie. Don't be in such a hurry. Are you lost? Yes, Grandmother, I am lost. I am new to this land, and I was just looking for a place to rest tonight.
I think I can help with that. I could accommodate you. Come on in.
Well, there must have been something in her voice that the young girl heard that allowed her to trust the old woman. I'm not quite sure what that was. But when she went in to the house, she found a fire burning. And on the dining room table, there were two plates set. The bread that she had taken out of the oven. And a plate filled with all of the apples. And they feasted on the bread and the apples until they were full. And the old woman said to her,
My name is Frau Hola, and if you would like to work for me, I have chores for you to do, and I would make it worth your while.
Oh, how kind of you, Grandmother, how very kind. I don't have any place to go or anything to do. I would be more than happy to help you.
And as it got late, Frau Hola led her upstairs to the attic, and there were two beds there. Before she went to sleep, she said to her,
"It's going to get very cold tonight, my dear, very, very cold. I need you to get up in the middle of the night and take my comforter at my feet. Walk over to the window, open the window, shake it out. Close the window and cover me up. Do you think you could do that?"
"Oh, well, of course I can do that, certainly." And so, it was true. In the middle of the night, it was freezing cold. It was so very cold. The girl looked over at the old woman, and she heard her teeth chattering. Oh, and so she got up out of the bed. She stood on her tippy-tippy toes. It was so cold she couldn't even put her feet down on the hardwood floor. She made her way shivering over to the bed. She took the coverlet in her fingers, walked to the window, opened the window, and shook it outside. And feathers began to fly in the air. And then, surprisingly, the feathers turned into snowflakes and it began to snow. She closed the window and covered the old woman and went back to sleep. And in the morning, Frau Hola gave her chores to do, and the girl did so without complaint to the best of her ability. That night she woke up in the cold again, took the coverlet out, opened the window, shook it outside, and the feathers turned to snowflakes. It began to snow and the world became warmer. The second day she did her chores too, and soon she was doing chores without even being asked to. She knew exactly what to do. The old woman treated her so kindly and lovingly. It was the best she had ever been treated. One night, it was so cold, when she opened the window to shake the coverlet, the feathers flew outside and turned into snow, and then the wind blew feathers back into the room, and she gathered them up and sewed them between her sheets to make her own coverlet. The next morning, Frau Hola said,
"Oh, clever girl, clever girl. You now are warm, too."
But alas, such is the way of human beings. After a while, the girl became homesick for her own land. She told Frau Hola,
"Frau Hola, I miss my family. I would like to return home. Can you help me?"
"I'm glad to hear that. I would be happy to."
And so the two walked deeper into the forest until they found themselves in a large meadow, and in the center of the meadow was a gate. They walked to the gate. Frau Hola took her hands, and into her hand she placed that spindle that she had dropped so long ago in the well.
"Ah, dearie, go through the gate and you will get exactly what you deserve. Thank you for all you've done."
And the girl turned and placed a kiss on her cheek, opened the gate, and then to her amazement, down from the sky rained upon her all manner of gold. Golden coins, gold dust, gold jewels. She was covered from head to toe in gold, and there she was back home. She made her way to her house, and sitting on the gate was a rooster. "Cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo, our shiny girl is all anew, our shiny girl is all anew." She banged on the door, "Let me in, let me in." Her stepmother and stepsister opened the door, and as soon as they saw her, their mouths dropped wide open. They thought she was dead, but when they saw her covered in gold, they invited her back in. and she told them the story. Her stepmother began to pace back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. "That's what my daughter deserves. That's exactly what my daughter deserves. Nothing less than that at all. So listen to me, daughter. I want you to take that spindle, prick your finger, make it bleed, and just jump right into the well so you can get exactly what you deserve." And so that's what the stepsister did. She pricked her finger, made it bleed, jumped into the well, but instead of swimming to the bottom, she just sank. Fortunately, that mysterious force pulled her forward, and she popped right out to the surface like a cork. But instead of swimming to shore, she began to splash and scream and thrash about, "Help me, help me, help me, I'm drowning!" Frau Holle was hoeing vegetables at the shore of the lake.
"Swam to shore, dearie, swam to shore."
"Oh, no, no, help me, help me."
So Frau Holle got a rowboat, rowed it out to her. The girl climbed aboard.
"Oh, this is so disagreeable. This is so disagreeable. My clothes are now so clammy against me. I just feel so terrible."
They got to the shore, and Frau Holle started to walk away.
"Hey! Hey, dear, what am I to do?"
"Follow the path. Just follow the path."
And so she did. A little while later, she heard something odd.
"Take us out, take us out, we're burning, take us out. Are there gnats around here? I mean, something is buzzing around in my ear."
She continued to walk.
Take us out, we're burning, take us out. Excuse me, where are you? It is very rude to not speak to someone in their presence."
She continued to walk until she made her way to the outdoor oven. She opened the door to the oven and saw that beautiful bread, the golden crust and the smell.
Take us out, we're burning, take us out."
"Really? Really? You expect me to take you out? How did you get yourself in there? This is such an odd place where objects are speaking to me. I don't think I wish to be spoken to, and I certainly will not help you."
And she slammed the door shut and continued to walk. She made her way into the forest, and soon she heard something else.
Shake me, your arms are breaking, shake me."
"Oh, what a disagreeable sound, what a groaning. I don't like the pitch of that at all."
And she walked a little further.
Shake me, my arms are breaking, shake me."
I have told you before, this is very rude not to stand in front of someone when you're speaking to them. Did your mother not teach you any manners at all?"
And so she continued. And soon she was in the apple orchard, surrounded by the apple trees, filled with every manner of apple, with the branches of the apple trees almost to the ground.
Shake me, my arms are breaking, shake me."
"I can't believe that you would dare to ask me that. I don't even like apples. Apples are for peasants. You want me to get my dress all dirty for you?" "No."
And she continued on. She made her way into the forest, and she found the cottage without any difficulty, and she pounded at the door.
"Let me in! Let me in!"
She wasn't afraid of the old woman because she already knew what she was going to face. The door was opened.
"Oh, this is really not a very nice land. You're not so hospitable here, are you? I will work for you, but I will expect to be fed."
and she made her way in the door without even being invited. Frau Hola just laughed.
Oh, dearie, there is no supper here tonight. No supper at all.
And there at the table was the burnt loaves of bread and an empty plate that should have been filled with apples. She took her upstairs to the attic, and she told her about waking up in the night, shaking the coverlet out the window and covering her again. But in the middle of the night, when the old woman's teeth were chattering so, she just turned her back on her and covered herself up even more. The earth was cold. The next day, Frau Hola awoke and gave her chores to do, and she tried her best. She had never done a day's work in her life. And that evening, it was ever so cold. But the girl refused to wake up, and the ground began to be crisp and frozen, for it did not snow. Frau Hola gave her more chores to do the next day, and she worked for about an hour. But after that, she took a nap under a tree. That night, it was so cold. The girl needed to get up, but instead, she turned her back to the old woman and went back to sleep. The earth was so cold now that some of the seeds underneath the surface were starting to be frozen and die. The next day, Frau Hola woke up early and shook the girl.
"Wake up, dearie, wake up, dearie. It's time for you to go home."
Oh, she's so excited. She thought she was going to get all the gold. Frau Hola drug her into the forest, into the meadow, placed her right before the gate.
"Ah, dearie, make your way through the gate. You're going to get exactly what you deserve."
The girl opened the door and Frau Hola pushed her through. She raised her arms up high, expecting to be poured down gold coins, and instead, she was covered with black pitch and tar, and the stink and the stickiness covered her from head to toe, every part of her. And then she was home. She began to scream, "Help!" And she made her way to her house. There on the gate was the rooster. "Cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo, our dirty girl is here anew. Our dirty girl is here anew. Mom, open the door!" Her mother opened the door. She couldn't even recognize her. And then she began to scream. They both began to scream and shout. And the people in the village say that she was never able to get that pitch off of her ever again. But let's not dispense with this story so quickly. There are some who believe that Frau Hola still walks among us in the shadows, watching and waiting. She's the one who dispenses justice. So be awake. Be alert. She watches me and she watches you. She's ready to give us our just desserts.
You may be wondering how I know these old stories, but that is a story for another day. The moral of the story is,
Frau Hola has been categorized as one of many tales of the kind and unkind girls. Folklorist Sith Thompson identified over 600 variants of this good girl, bad girl tale, found from Europe to Asia, Africa, and North and South America. In a popular variant, the story Diamonds and Toads, the good girl was rewarded with diamonds and pearls pouring from her mouth as she spoke, while the bad girl spit out words filled with snakes and toads, a la Ron Weasley. One of the earliest written versions from the 17th century was authored by Giambattista Basile in Three Fountains. The good girl received a gold star on her forehead, while the bad stepsister walked through manure and had an ass's testicle fall on her forehead and stick to her skin. These are teaching tales, so you can see that being virtuous is always the best. This story is filled with common narrative elements or motifs. Each of these elements are found in many other stories and serve as a shorthand of sorts to the character, location, or symbolic meaning found in the tales. Frau Hola includes the old woman helper, snow from feather or clothes from a witch, and other world journey, for example, the entrance through the well into the magical land. This is an initiation story with an unlikely hero, for in most folk tales, the hero is both young and male. And for those of you who take note of such things, the plot of Frau Hola fits well within both Joseph Campbell's and Vladimir Propp's story structure. The folk tale of Frau Hola is filled with rich symbolism. The great Swiss psychologist Carl Gustav Jung theorized that all elements of a dream or a story are part of our true self in our path to individuation. That is the process of becoming our true self. We seek to integrate our subconscious mind into our conscious reality. This includes bringing light and awareness to our shadow side. This story begins with the discussion of spinning. Jacob Grimm stated, "The spindle is an essential characteristic of wise women, making it an essential symbol for this story. The young girl jumps naively into the well and emerges into a lake, all the symbols Carl Jung identified with the mother archetype. On this journey, the girl is initiated into adulthood. She learns how to become a woman by demonstrating acts of compassion. Each of the girl's tasks move us further into the mother archetype. For example, opening the oven, a womb symbol, and gathering apples from a tree, symbolic of fertility. The symbol of snow is the element of purity represented by the innocent child. The girl seeks to find a spindle, an element essential both to her value as a female and for economic sustenance. Symbolically, that is the journey to the self. She lives in a world that is discordant with a highly critical stepmother and a lazy stepsister. Jungians would identify all of these as part of the girl's psyche. In reading or hearing the story, all the characters can be found within us too. We can see the girl's own internal desire for perfection when she mindlessly jumps into the well after she drops a spindle, rather than facing the consequences of being less than the good girl. She finds herself falling through the deep shaft of the well, an obvious reference to the unconscious mind, and enters into the lake. She is now in the other world, a place as foreign to her as is her unconscious mind. It is here where the language of symbols and metaphors prevail. We see all her tasks as symbolically referencing the great mother or wise old woman archetype. The great mother is the one who represents a duality of light and shadow, embracing both sides. These are the archetypes of integration and the archetypes of the self. For Frau Hola is the self, that part that is both shadow and light and contains inner wisdom. The girl is a youth, and in many ways, this is a story of maturation. But it is also the story of the innocent, naive self becoming awake and aware of its full potential. When the girl seeks a return to her conscious state, Frau Hola praises her and grants the girl the gift of golden knowledge. for she brings the wisdom of Frau Hola back with her. After she returns, the girl is changed and seeks to tell others of her experience, an act found often in the hero journey structure and in many teaching tales. The girl attempts to do so when she shares her story with her stepmother and stepsister. However, in the side story, we see the stepsister fail miserably in her attempt to win favor with Frau Hola. The stepsister could be seen as the shadow, the negative part of the psyche of which the conscious mind is unaware. She comes back showing her true nature covered in tar, as does the first girl, who is covered in gold. The journey to individuation is this very journey to discovery. Reviewing these symbols, it appears that the entire story was crafted from the wise woman and female perspective, most likely on an unconscious level. What can we discover about the wise woman archetype from this fairy tale? Hola is a mysterious character living within an underworld. She is repulsive and hideous in appearance, with long knotted white hair and large yellow buck teeth. A young girl disturbs her existence. As the girl searches for her lost items, she is required to perform certain tasks. Each of these tasks has a magical component, and it is unclear the source of the magic, for Hola herself remains kind and fair, but mysterious. In this good girl, bad girl tale, Hola meets out justice based on the worth of each girl. At the end of the story, their worth is determined accordingly. Hola is the helper, judge, and jury for those who come seeking something lost within themselves. It is the wisdom of the elder that can identify what exactly is lost and how it might be found. The one who is worthy will see beyond Mother Hola's hideous appearance, which threatens to make her invisible, for no one wishes to look in her direction. Even in folk tales, the elderly become invisible to the young, their wisdom discounted, and their words silenced. The worthy girl, however, will make visible both Mother Hola's true nature and her own. She discovers from the wise crone the value of hard work and selfless service for others and is rewarded in kind. Frau Hola, in return, learns to wait. She allows youth to have its folly, but teaches and nurtures those who are ready and willing to learn.
The wise crone knows it's time for you to leave. Your journey home takes you back through the forest. It may at times be difficult, but no fear. Her final words to you are, remember to stay on the path. Do not leave the path, no matter what you see or experience. And so it was, and so it is. Thank you for listening. We'll meet again the fourth Sunday of each month. This podcast has been sponsored by Heart Symbol Publishing, where you'll find a wide variety of guided imagery downloads to achieve your goals and enhance your life.
This is the storyteller Kathy Shimpok. This podcast is narrated by Linda Bennett. Music is The Snow Queen by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetet.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Stories by the Brother Grimm are in the public domain.